Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Hello, dear Blood River Radio family. We, like, as promised, we have the bitter ender himself. He just wrote in. He's got that little bloody sword. It looks like there's some blood on his boots. I tell you what, that dude is hard on them Yankees, man. We've had these special swords made for him. They came special order. Not only the titanium, there's like industrial diamond edge, but I noticed he's got some gashes in those damn things. He's too hard on the swords, man. We're going broke. Keeping the bitter ender in swords. But anyway, we'll get the bitter ender to tell you how the battle's been going on. He's been fighting behind the line like the German werewolf did up in the World War II. So how's it going, bitter ender? How's your war behind the lines with the Yankees
going? Going very well. Before we get started tonight, Eddie, I would like to send out congratulations to Matthew Goodwin. I understand that he and his lovely wife are expecting their second child. So we want to wish them well and hope everything goes as planned, and I think that's great. You know, now Matthew was one of the early founders or one of the early co-hosts on Blood River Radio. Is that correct, Eddie? When you first got going.
Right. You're absolutely right. Without Matthew Goodwin, there would be no Blood River Radio.
Well, and then he went with us to Charlottesville, and he was our lifesaver. The young guys out front, like Matthew and their age, had to take the brunt of the Black Lives Don't Matter to other blacks and Antifa crazies and nutcases. And they were the ones that really fought our way into the park and then fought our way back out of the park when we had to leave. Our permit was rejected by the that McCullough, the governor, who's part of the Clinton crime syndicate. And so if it hadn't been for the young guys like Matthew, us old guys back in the rear with the gear would have probably still be buried somewhere up there around Charlottesville. So we're very appreciative of Matthew and
no
what
doubt.
He did. And those young people out front that really bore the brunt of the attack from the communist stormtroopers they sent against us. So, but we want to wish Matthew and his wife very best wishes for their second child. So...
another thing about Matthew, he was right there, if I'm understanding. I was down at the McIntyre Park, went down there with the guys from the Arkansas Head, what was his name? His last name was Miller, C.J. Miller. You know, but anyway, Matthew was just in mere inches away from the fella who got hit in the head with the mag light. His name is escaping me now, the fella who got hit with the mag light. Matt was right there.
Well, blacks always do, that thug ran off the side. After we passed, that thug ran off the sidewalk and cheap shot at one of our marchers from behind with that mag light and knocked him down and out for the count.
God almighty.
So that's, I found that out. If you're playing against an all-black football team, they'll cheap shot you right as the whistle blows, and then they'll run back over to the huddle and dare you to come over there after one of them. So, That's known as darky football, also another name for that type of football. But I don't know if we want to have that on the air.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, so enough of that. Let's turn it over to Mindy and Mindy Esposito with the Southern Independence Association and find out some information from her, who was on the battlefield at Arlington, going back to the site of the Reconciliation Monument. And find out what happened up there just across the river from Red Square and see how that went. Mindy?
Hi, Gene.
Hello.
Yeah, we were there Thursday. We took a group of us. We went to do a silent memorial at the base of where the Reconciliation Monument stood. And we were mourning the destruction of the Reconciliation Monument. And also the end of reconciliation itself and the desecration of the graves that were there. We had also had a permit to demonstrate along Memorial Avenue there, right before you get to Arlington National Cemetery property. That from right there, it belongs to the National Park Service, or it's under the jurisdiction of the National Park Service. Now, I have to say, first of all, that the officials at Arlington National Cemetery were wonderful. They did request that we do a large event protocol, and we did, and we followed their guidelines, and we got along very well. We had to go to the National Park Service to get a permit to demonstrate along Memorial Avenue. We were all set. We had, you know, our people were there. I was in my weeds. That's 1860s morning attire. And we had set up on Memorial Avenue to do our demonstration before we were to go into Arlington at 10 a.m. Our chairman of the board, Everett Boland, and another member had gone back to his truck to get the flags, you know, because we were allowed to do that where we were. And he was detained by National Park Service police. And I had found out later that before we had gotten there, five of them had come up to him, and they were all black, by the way, telling him they couldn't bring the flags in. He'd have to leave. So he went back and put them in his truck. And then once we all got set up and knew where we were supposed to be, my husband had gone back to our truck to get our flags and flowers and what have you for the ceremonies. Everett and another member went to his truck to get his flags, and he was surrounded by about 15 black National Park Service police officers, and they detained him, and they kept him. They finally searched his truck, and they found something to charge him with, which is ridiculous. I'm not even going to mention it. But he finally was released about 6 o'clock that night. It was total racism. It was total racial profiling. He was targeted because he's a white man. He was not, everybody else was in uniform or in weeds, and he was only in, you know, a sweatshirt. We're doing a Reunite Virginia campaign with a sweatshirt that had that Reunite Virginia campaign on the front of it.
Dangerous. That's dangerous right there. You know, like, no wonder they got all the darkies rounded up and sent in your direction. Gosh.
Well, he was telling me that when he was in custody, they would not let us talk to him. They would not let us near him. He could not say anything to us. We had John Hill with us. John Hill is the descendant of A.P. Hill, who runs the A.P. Hill Legacy Foundation.
Oh, yes. I've met him. He was at the Forest Homecoming last summer.
Yeah, he's a young man, and he doesn't take much from people. And I was worried he was going to get arrested because they were pushing us back from talking to them. They finally took him into the entrance building there at Arlington, and my husband and I didn't even go to the memorial. We sat there because I'm like, I'm not leaving until I know what's happening to him.
Sure.
So John led the rest of the people back and have the memorial service, and then they went on to the Lee home while we waited. And finally, about 2 o'clock, the chief of security for Arlington National Cemetery came and said they won't let him tell me everything, but they're going to book him, but he won't spend the night in jail. And then somebody said they might impound his truck, and we went and found his truck to make sure he was okay. And I talked to his wife and his daughter, and I mean, it was awful. It was like we had visited a communist country, and we had done something like taken a poster off a wall, and they ended up arresting. I mean, it was ridiculous.
No,
it was absolutely ridiculous.
It's not, one correction there. It's not like you had visited a communist country. We are in a communist country.
No, you're right. And it's so sad. And it was so disheartening because we'd actually had a meeting about security issues. Well, what if different scenarios happened, how we would handle it. But I never saw this coming. I never thought the National Park Service would do this to an American. Now, I do have to say that Everett told me while he was in the building that the white National Park Service police were arguing with the blacks because they said they were being ridiculous. They were trying to stand up for him. There was racial tension in there, but it was totally a racist act. And it took its toll on us.
D.C. is a black city, just like, you know, it's a crime-ridden, unlivable hellhole because it's a black-run city, just like Baltimore, just like Detroit, just like Chicago, just like Memphis, just like all these other
Memphis.
Jackson, Mississippi, Birmingham, Atlanta. Any of these cities that are run by blacks, that city has just gone down the toilet. It's unlivable. You can't live in these places. So, you know, that's what we've gotten.
Well, Mr. Gene, we have to bitter into. We have to go to our first break of the third hour. I'm going to make an announcement when we come back. Something I dropped the ball and missed last week. Be right back, people.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
This is Attorney Jason Rupp, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Blood River Radio, precious Blood River Radio family. Before we go back to Sister Mindy, Brother Gene has an announcement. I apologize. I really feel horrible because I missed this announcement last week. I intended to do it. I've got the photographs right here in front of me, the criminals, the victims. But Brother Gene, he's going to tell you what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, on January 6th in 2007 in Knoxville, Tennessee, site of the University of Tennessee, two young students there were down in what they call Old Town. It's a lot of restaurants and bars and night spots and stuff like that. They were going back to their car, had done nothing wrong. They were attacked, and their car and these two young people were hijacked. They were tortured in the black part of town. They were held prisoner in this house, and finally murdered in the most horrible way. Burned the bodies. One of them was stuffed in a trash can and dumped on the railroad tracks. Shannon Christensen and Christopher Newsom were the two young people that were kidnapped off the street in Knoxville, Tennessee, tortured for 3 days, and finally murdered. Now, the thing that really brought it home to us back here in Nashville, my daughter was a student at UT when all that was going on. And they didn't know very much about it then. It was on the local news in Knoxville, but the news media shut that thing down like this had happened in Outer Mongolia. They did not report that. They didn't. If they did, they just said two students had died in Knoxville, and they did not say anything about the perpetrators and what horrific animals these things were to do something like that to them. So to say that the news media doesn't lie, well, we all know they do. And they really covered this thing up. Now, had this been the other way around, if a gang of whites had murdered two blacks in Knoxville, you would have heard about this story for 6 months. They would have gone back to the history of these two white people from the time they were in kindergarten all the way up through what they had done. And it just shows you the hypocrisy of the news media that we have in this country.
Sure does.
Yes. I mean, it was very, very emotional. That's one of the things that, like Jean, I was talking about when I first brought Sister Mindy on. That's one of the things she's fighting for, to get our Southern independence. So this kind of crap, we get people like us, people like look like us, talk like us, think like us, so we get in control of our own government. These jokers would not be breathing air in a prison right now. They would be fertilizing some tree out into some holler somewhere. If I had my way about it, and if it was like for my grandpa, I mean, I'm looking at this photograph. And I like to tell our listeners, our family, I'm so sorry I missed this. I had it planned, and how it got by me, I don't know. But you should see these animals. And you know something, I've tried to get the reporter in Knoxville paper that did this story, Gene and Mindy, and it's like trying to get an audience for the Pope. They won't return your phone calls. Nothing. You hit a dead end.
No, they've got their orders covered up.
They're so afraid of being called racist. But anyway, I'm going to shut the hell up. I wish that maybe we have a moment of silence when we end the show for these people. I don't know. It's a really emotional. I'm shook up about that. But anyway, I'll turn it back over to you, Sister Mindy. Go ahead with your story that we brought you, that you came on for, to tell about what went on at the Arlington National Cemetery. Continue on, if you will.
Well, I just want to say that's awful. I mean, what happened to those young people, and our laws almost defy common sense anymore, and we have to change that. We have to turn that around. But as far as back to Arlington, it was very traumatic. It was eye opening that this is what they're prepared to do to normal citizens. Normal Americans, you're not safe. You're not safe going to your capital anymore. Anything they decide they don't like, they can prosecute, but they can persecute you for it, and you're helpless. I was on the phone whenever it was being detained with Kirk Lyons with the Southern Legal Resource Center, and he was giving me pointers, and I was on the phone with Defend Arlington and John Coffendaffer. He's our advisor out of Alabama. So, I mean, we sat, I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, I had visions of January 6th where they'd lock him up for 3 months without charges. And finally, I think that the gentleman with Arlington National Cemetery, though, spoke with them, because they did finally come out and say, no, this is what's going to happen. So it was, I won't go back. I won't go back north. No way. None of us will. Even though they invited us back, Arlington National Cemetery, they were very pleasant and said, you know, we were very happy that you're here. We're sorry this happened. You're great. You know, you and your organization are welcome anytime. And I thanked them very much. And we all said, there's no way we'll ever go back there.
Unless it's enemy territory. The only reason I would go back to Washington, the District of Corruption, is if the Russians are attacking Washington and I could stand on the sideline and cheer the Russians on and get that building over there with a big dome on it, get that White House building over there, get that Defense Department. Yes. You know, I would cheer them on. You know, our enemies are in Washington. Our enemies are not Moscow. Are not in Beijing or Tehran.
You got that right.
Anywhere around
you're
the world.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Gene. It's sad.
You're so right, Mindy.
It's sad. It's disheartening, you know, that this is what this country's become.
Yeah, it is.
we got out of there. Once we knew what was happening with him, we all got out of there. We ended up going to Culpeper to visit A.P. Hill's grave where he's buried now, because, you know, last year they tore down his monument and dug up his remains. John was with us. He was actually the one who went into the crypt and got his remains out, and they reburied him in Culpeper, in the cemetery where his family's buried. So we went there, and then we went on to Lexington for Lee and Jackson days. We came home yesterday. Our people were still down there today, but and that was the nice thing that happened is that they restored Traveler's Marker on the stables.
Right.
We protested that last August, because in July, as you know, they took his grave marker off and replaced it with just Traveler and his birth date and his death date. That's
and
it.
Never said why that's there or who Traveler was.
Nope.
Or anything.
Nothing. And then they took the plaque off of the stables, and they weren't going to replace that. They just took it off and repaired the spot that it had been. The highlight of my weekend was driving down Washington Avenue and looking up and seeing that they had put the marker back up on the stable.
Right.
And
right.
The gentleman who owns the ice cream shop there on Washington Avenue or Washington Street, I'm sorry, excuse me. He said that was because of the outcry of the people. And I congratulated our members on that, because we hammered and hammered and hammered them for that, because it's ridiculous. Traveler and Little Sorrel represented to us, it represented all of the horses that were killed during Lincoln's War. There were so many animals that were put down because of either gunfire, or they just dropped from the workload.
Exhaustion.
And
yeah.
And you'd think that, you know, that animal lovers would have been like, no, why are you doing this to a horse? So that was the highlight of the whole weekend. The discouragement is that now at Washington and Lee University, you are not allowed on the property if you have a flag, a Confederate flag, or if you're in uniform. You can't park in the parking lot if you have anything Confederate on your vehicle.
Well,
and all of...
That's the way the communists operate. They don't want any opposition to the Communist Party. So
no, it's true. And all of the flags have been removed from Washington and Lee University. There's no flags in the chapel where the incumbent Lee rests in his little alcove. In the chapel itself, downstairs in the family crypt, there are no Confederate flags. Even in the recreation of his office room, there are no flags, and anything related to Lee only says that he was only relate to his time at Washington and Lee University. There's no reference to the Confederacy. There's no reference to his time at West Point. There's nothing in reference to Lee at all there, except as his time at Washington and Lee. So it's whitewashed. I mean, it's the erasing of history again.
Yes.
And it's so disheartening. We're trying really hard. We kicked off a campaign called Reunite Virginia, and it's to tell the history of what happened to Western Virginia, how Western Virginia became a state, how it was illegally enacted.
It's an illegitimate state.
Absolutely, and it was unconstitutionally confiscated from the state of Virginia. And it was done by Lincoln and his administration, and people in Wheeling, West Virginia, what's Wheeling, West Virginia now, in that panhandle. And there were two other counties down to the southwest. But Western Virginia was overwhelmingly Confederate. That's where my second great-grandfather came from, Clarksburg, Virginia. He went home to Clarksburg, West Virginia, but And we're trying to tell the history of what happened mainly, but also to get Virginians to wake up and take their state back. During my research, I found that in 2020, there was a short-lived campaign. It was called Vexit, like Texit, only with a V. And mm-hmm. that's where West Virginia was. Well, yeah, and I'm trying to find more information about it, but it was where West Virginia had offered...
Well, Sister Mindy, hold that thought. We've got to go to our second break of the third hour. So we'll be right back to Sister Mindy as soon as we come back from this break, folks.
daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters.
What do you say to members of your own party who are saying you needed congressional authorization for last night's strike?
They're wrong, and I sent up this morning when the strikes occurred exactly what happened.
President Biden calls the strikes against the Houthi rebels in Yemen a success. The president on a campaign stop at a school in Allentown, Pennsylvania. The DOD, Department of Defense, says to expect some sort of Houthi rebel retaliation, but the group, backed by Iran, has been attacking ships in the Red Sea for months. The Biden administration, along with military partners in Britain, finally carrying out massive strikes in Yemen.
I would hope that they don't retaliate, but we're prepared in the event that they do.
That is Lieutenant General Douglas Sims at a Pentagon press conference late Friday afternoon.
The hope would be that any real thought of retaliation is based on a clear understanding that, you know, we simply are not going to be messed with here. This is all about creating freedom of navigation for the international shipping.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin remains at Walter Reed Medical Center being treated for complications related to prostate cancer surgery. Iowa under a winter weather warning, freezing snowy Iowa, the center of the political world for the next few days ahead of the caucuses on Monday. All of the Republican candidates busy campaigning despite the weather.
This is an unbelievable amount of snow, but we are going to continue to try and touch as many people as we can.
That is Nikki Haley campaigning in Iowa. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis also shaking lots of hands in the state with his wife by his side.
We have a lot of people that we have signed up to commit to for us over many months. I think they're motivated, they're passionate, and they're going to show up. What about the broader electorate? I just don't know, but I'm confident our people are going to come out strong.
This is USA News.
I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Get the Tea. Get the Tea carries all natural, non-GMO organic teas and supplements made in the USA. Get the Tea's ingredients are the purest available. My favorite is Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse containing 12 herbs that when combined really keep things moving. I drink it every day, and my energy has never been better. I'm feeling great. Life Change Tea comes in three delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's an easy and delicious way to keep your digestion on track. And for those on the go, try D365. D365 is Life Change Tea in a capsule. Drink the tea or take D365 capsules and keep your digestion running smoothly. Go to GetTheTea.com and enter discount code USA to get 10% off any size order. That's GetTheTea.com, discount code USA for 10% off your order.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, so glad you hung on during the break. We're going to go right back. This is a riveting hour. Several of us have talked about being discouraged about the way things go, and wanting to give up sometimes, but we just really can't do it. It's my firm belief, we have to trust in God. We may not win right now, but I have to believe in my heart sooner or later. We will win. So I think sooner or later that justice, Christianity, godliness will prevail. Maybe we're being judged. I don't know. But anyway, we're going right back. We have two other people on the line right here who've been fighting all their lives, the bitter ender and Miss Mindy and Esposito. And we're going to go right back to Sister Miss Esposito and let her continue on with her riveting story. Go ahead, Miss Mindy.
Oh, I'll never give up. I'll never stop fighting until my last breath. I'm not saying I don't get discouraged, because I do, but this is too important for my life, for my kids' lives, for my grandkids' lives, for generations yet unborn, and for my ancestors who already fought this fight. But it's a sad time in this country right now. And we had, before the break, we were talking about, and I'll just go back to this briefly, that in 2020 there was an effort called Vexit, and that's where West Virginia had offered southern and rural counties in Virginia to join with them, so that they could secede and join West Virginia. But that ended abruptly at the time, and it's kind of like the retake or reunite Virginia campaign that we started off. We suggest that they just let Northern Virginia go. they just go ahead and acknowledge that they're part of the federal government and just let them go and take back their state. We're not the South without Virginia.
Yeah,
and that's all I wanted to say about that.
That's true. And they've destroyed Monument Avenue in Richmond and many of the monuments in Richmond. And that Monument Avenue used to be one of the most beautiful streets in all of America.
It sure was. It was gorgeous.
And now they've vandalized all the bases of all those monuments and taken the monuments down. I have no intention of ever going back to Richmond. I don't want to spend any money there, just like I don't go to Memphis. These people that do that are New Orleans. When they took all the Confederate statues down in New Orleans, I had some friends that wanted to go down there, and I said, well, y'all go, and here's some money. They were going to go to the Confederate Museum there in New Orleans. And I said, well, here's some money. Donate it to them, but I'm not going to go down there and spend my money and have part of my money go to the city of New Orleans for
and it's all a lie. People don't understand. You've erased American history.
Yes.
You know, it's not just Southern. You've erased American history. You've let them feed you a bunch of bull about the way things were, and now you might as well have called in the Taliban. That's what they do. They tear up ancient relics that don't agree with them. And that's what you might as well call the American people who've done this, the Taliban. You know, it's systematic, and people go along with it because they buy the BS that it's an insult to race to blacks or whoever they bring it up. But it's the systematic erasure of American history, and that's what all communist countries do. They go in and they have to erase the people's history and replace it with what they want you to think.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. And it's disgusting that the American people are are so dumb that they buy into it.
Well, that's they're not dumb by accident. That's been the plan from all along. Stupid people are much easier to control than intelligent people that don't buy this garbage that you see on so-called news on television, that they read other sources or they go online to other sources, and they can argue our point very well just based on historical fact. We don't have to call them names. We don't have to do this, making threats like they always do. Threaten, a broadcaster on NBC, you're going to lose your job because we don't agree with you. We don't do that. We just say, here are the facts. Here are the facts. You try to argue the facts. Well, if you do that, then you're automatically a racist, you're a white supremacist, and you're this and the yada, 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 yada.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I can always tell I've won the argument when they start calling me names.
Yes.
And they start swearing at me and calling me names. I always like, okay, that's where I won it, right there.
Game's over.
Have nothing else to
Game's
say.
Over.
Yep.
The buzzer goes
Absolutely.
Off. We're
Absolutely.
Ahead 49 to nothing. 7 touchdowns and extra points to nothing right there.
And, Gene, that's why we're trying so hard in Tennessee to refuse federal funds for education. We desperately are trying to take our kids' education back in the state because they've been indoctrinated for decades.
Yeah.
And the only way we bring up kids who can think critically and question everything, like Thomas Jefferson said, question everything with boldness, even the existence of God, that we have to have people who can think for themselves, because everything that we're being told, everything that we're being fed is a lie. It's a big fat lie, and it has been for years. And if we don't get our kids to be able to recognize that and think for themselves, we're lost. We won't be able to do anything. I mean, we see it now with kids in universities. They believe such garbage, and they don't know any better to question it.
No, they don't. They don't have any ammunition to fire back, and
no, they don't.
Threatened, you know, with expulsion, or they won't accept their doctoral thesis or whatever. Well, I'll give you an example. I had a young lady call me from New Mexico State University, and how she got my number, I don't know. But anyway, she was doing a graduate paper on Nathan Bedford Forrest, and she wanted to get some information because she said she didn't really believe a lot of the things that she was reading about him. And she wanted to talk to somebody that worked there at the Forrest home. And what about this? What about that? And I gave her some notes and things. And she was kind of curious about our homecoming event. And she said, well, have you ever had any problems out there? And we'd already had about 17 or 18 of them. And I said, no, I don't think so. And it wouldn't be a really good place to start it, because this is out in the country. It's not in a city, and we have
right in a small town. Yeah,
and the cavalry could ride them down, and they could load the artillery we have out there. Instead of just firing blank powder, we could load it up with screws and nails, and then what was left of the protesters, the infantry could fix bayonets. The infantry reenactors could fix bayonets and come in and just pin them to the ground. So not a good place to protest. But anyway, the point of the story was she turned this paper in based on facts, and they rejected it.
Yep,
because it didn't fit the propaganda that they wanted.
Yep.
So here's a person that did a lot of research, got her facts all in order, turned in this paper on a graduate level, and had it rejected because it didn't fit the propaganda mold that they wanted.
Absolutely right, and they do it all the time at all the universities.
Oh yeah,
you're not allowed to. If you don't fall in line, you don't graduate, or you get your paperwork rejected, and nobody has been more viciously maligned than Forrest in history. And
oh, of course,
because he was one of the greatest.
They never could beat him on the battlefield, so they drag his name through the mud in the press. And back then, they did with the so-called Fort Pillow massacre. There was nothing but propaganda.
Exactly.
Refuted that 100 times in different programs that I've given. They say he started the Ku Klux Klan, which he didn't. He was in Memphis. He started in Pulaski. And just on and on and on with things like that. And I go back to the same quote every single time about these people. Dr. Joseph Goebbels in Germany said, a lie told once is always a lie. But a lie told 1,000 times becomes history. And that's exactly what's happened.
Yes.
Well, I submit that he was the greatest general, the greatest American general there ever was. And I stand by that. I mean, he's my personal hero and will be for the rest of my life. But he did some amazing things and self-taught. He never went to a military academy. And what he did for people and after Lincoln's war, what he did for black people, that's the shame, that the people in Memphis wanted to dig up his body and condemn him as a racist. And not knowing there were over 3,000 black people that went to his funeral.
Yep.
Not because they loved him.
And he hired blacks when they were trying to build that Memphis, Marion, and Selma Railroad after the war. He hired blacks and caught all kind of hell for hiring blacks because he paid them the same salary as he was paying the white laborers. And he said, well,
exactly.
If you do the same work, you get the same amount of money.
He was a good man. He was absolutely a good man and an amazing general.
Absolutely.
Well, dear folks, we have to go to our last break of the last hour, so we'll be right back. I hope the people are enjoying it, listening as much as I am. Be right back, people.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Those who benefit from war, they never participate in the war. Those who participate in the war never benefit from war. That's a quote that Brother Gene and I have been, we received that quote from our dear elder brother, Mr. Buddy, over in Arkansas. And the reason I bring that up is just saying that Miss Mindy kind of reminds me that we were talking about sometimes we get kind of, discouraged, never thinking about quitting, mind you, but we're just kind of discouraged because, you know, and I was telling them the thing that discouraged me more than anything, we have so many people that, I'm not saying they're wealthy, but they're good. You know, they're making good living. They have a good home. They're living well. They're watching the TV every day, the ball games and things. But they don't want to be inconvenienced. They don't want to give up any of their luxuries. They will not lift a finger to help us. They won't get in the street to do a donation. They won't sell a book. They won't write a newspaper article. They won't do a damn thing to help you. And if you try to do something and talk to them, they'll say, well, it's just a waste of time. You know, you're pouring money down a rat hole. You're wasting money, et cetera, et cetera. That's the thing that really makes me angry and discourages me more than anything. So I can identify what Ms. Mindy was talking about. But we're never, ever going to quit here. I know the bitter ender feels the same way. So we'll go back to you,
Eddie,
Ellen. You can go ahead and direct it.
Speaking of books, you said during the break
you got
your books from Mike Grissom, The Southern Book of Quotes.
Yes, it is.
And we plugged that on the radio show before. All these quotes from great Southerners, Bartlett's famous quotations. I think they get about 700 or 800 pages, and they got two quotes from Southerners, and that's about it. But this is the other way around. These are all Southerners, and it's great just reading, just thumb through it and say, well, I didn't know where that came from. Well, there it is. That's it. And it's listed in alphabetical order in the front. And then in the book, it's in chronological order. So it starts back with Jefferson and the founding fathers, and comes through the Bedford Forrest and Patrick Claiborne and all the generals during our war for independence. And it even goes into modern times. Jerry Lee Lewis, Minnie Pearl, and some of the things at the modern.
Yes.
But the thing that got me was quotes from Governor George Wallace, from Governor Ross Barnett, and Governor Orville Faubus when they were fighting against the evil Kennedys and Eisenhower, and what they were doing to destroy the school system in the South. And they were like prophets in the Bible. They told exactly what was going to happen.
Yes.
If this forced integration was put on the South. And it's almost like they were reading history from 30 or 40 or 50 years down the road. And they predicted exactly what was going to happen.
And, what's the name of the book?
They must
the Book of it's Southern called, Quotes.
This,
okay.
Well, the yes, Southern Book of Quotes.
One of my favorite ones right here.
Yeah.
One of my favorite genes by Will Rogers. He says, we have the best Congress money can buy. And I like the one that, best Congress. He's right. I like this one here by William Faulkner. The past is not dead. It isn't even past. I guess he's talking about the King Solomon there. I'll run more here if I can find. Said that.
But Mike is finally.
Coming up.
Amazon had banned his books because they're pro-Southern and they use facts. And
so you can't buy it on Amazon?
Fought with them for the last 4 or 5 years, and finally they're back on Amazon.
That book he
first came out with, Southern by the Grace of God. The Book of Southern Quotes. The latest one he's come out with is Dixie Essays. That's a good one. About 30 years of essays that he's written about the South. One of the chapters in there, or one of the essays in there, is why the Republicans can't save the South. And he's finally gotten his books back on Amazon. He had to really fight to get that back. Because we don't have censorship in this country. You know that, of course. So anyway, glad that Mike's you're able to get his books, because they are outstanding. And that's the thing, if those books, some of those books were required reading in high school, we wouldn't be going through this mess today, because Southern by the Grace of God, it refutes everything that was said about Lincoln making him a god, you know, in the pagan temple on the Mall in D.C. and him sitting on his throne there like the Roman god, Bull Crappus Maximus, the Roman god of lies and misinformation. Anyway,
take back our schools and make them required reading.
Yeah.
So we have to get our schools back. We have to get our schools out of the hands of the federal government.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They don't have any business in the education of our children. None.
No. That was a present that was given us after the war, during Reconstruction. The Northern school marms came down here and to educate the blacks just enough to vote for the crooked Reconstruction government under the Republicans. So, anyway. Mindy, if you need to wrap up something, go right ahead. I've got a few things I would like to throw in trying to educate our so-called presidential candidates. Now, we had talked about Tricky Nikki Haley and some of the things she did, and then her statement about the war wasn't about slavery, and all the people that jumped on her, including Ronnie DeSantis, who should have known better. He was born in Jacksonville, but he went to school at Yale, and then got a law degree from Harvard. That probably warped his brain and rotted his brain cells right there. So he jumped on our real president, President Trump, and Trump said, well, you know, if he had been president back then, he could have negotiated some kind of settlement and we wouldn't have had a war and spared the life of 700,000 Americans. Then they all jumped on Trump, and DeSantis did. That never happened. Well, Ronnie, I tell you what, buddy, it did. And there were three commissioners that were sent from the South to negotiate a peace in the North: Martin Crawford of Georgia, John Forsyth of Alabama, and Andre Roman of Louisiana. They were designated by the Confederate Congress on February 15th, 1861. They traveled to Washington and tried to get a meeting with Lincoln on February 27th. He would not meet with them because he said states can't leave the Union. Once you're in, you're there forever. You know, Lincoln was a great admirer of the Eagles and the song Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave, you know. And I don't know if he sang with them or not, but I doubt that. March the 12th, they were lied to by Secretary of State William Seward, saying that, oh, we can work this out. He was stalling for time because Lincoln was assembling a fleet in New York to send to Charleston Harbor to try to provoke something that would give him an excuse to have Congress declare war on the South or a presidential executive order to invade the South and force them at the point of a gun to be back in the country. By March 15th, they'd filed a report. Lincoln would not recognize the Confederate States of America as a country. March 28th, Lincoln planned to invade South Carolina with a naval force. And his excuse was that the South Carolinians and the Confederate government were starving the poor Northern soldiers in Fort Sumter, which was a lie. Major Anderson, commanding at Fort Sumter, well, first of all, they were over at Fort Moultrie on the other side of the harbor, and they ordered to move out to Fort Sumter, which was actually under construction. It wasn't even built yet. And they chased all the construction workers out and the lighthouse keeper out and took over Fort Sumter because it really set in the middle of Charleston Harbor and it blocked the harbor. And they were going to use that as a tax collection point. Any ship coming into South Carolina, even though it was another country, the United States government was going to stop that ship and collect taxes off of it. So I'm wondering today if the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or Hamas or anybody set up a missile battery at the Verrazano Narrows coming into New York City Harbor and collected taxes on ships coming into New York City, how long would that last? How long would this country allow that to happen? But anyway, we were supposed to just turn a blind eye to it. But they said Fort Sumter was starving, which was a lie. They sent a boat up the harbor to the market in Charleston every single day. And even on the 11th of April, which is the day before we had to fire on Fort Sumter. So anyway, our good friend Buddy sent me a quote here from Henry Hallman, 1777 to 1859. Said that it's not who fires the first shot that causes the war, but the person who causes the first shot to be fired. So the aggressor is the person who causes the first shot to be fired, not the one that actually fires it. So if you want to go back to this old nonsense about the South started the war because they fired on Fort Sumter, and they were negotiating with Fort Sumter. In fact, that morning at about 4 o'clock, they sent a boat out there, and Stephen D. Lee was one of the people that was trying to negotiate with them. And they said, we know the fleet's out there, and they're coming in when the high tide comes in, the fleet's coming in. If we fire on this fleet, will you fire on us, meaning you, the commander at Fort Sumter? And he said, yes, we'll have to. If you fire on the U.S. flag on these ships that are coming in, we'll fire. So that's why they fired on Fort Sumter.
And finally, too, I'd like to thank you and Miss Moody for coming on. I'll tell you what, it's been an emotional show. It's been a great show, great broadcast. We don't do shows, we do broadcasts. We're strictly a liberation media. Folks, once again, thank you, Gene. Thank you, Miss Mindy. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Martha. Thank you, Sister Lindsay. I'm going to be contacting all you people very soon. Thank you, Blood River Radio family. God bless you. Lord willing, same time, someplace next week, January the 20th. We'll be right here. And good night, everybody.